This is Aaron Pednati, and I'm talking to you from the Rally to Shut Down Detention Centers in Glens Falls, New York. And I'm talking to world-renowned author, activist, and founder of 350.org, Bill McKibben. Bill, thanks so much for this interview. It's great to be talking to you. I wanted to ask why you came here today.
Well, I mean, of course, all Americans who stop to think about it are saddened and really heartbroken by what's going on down the border. But those of us who work on climate issues may have our own special reasons. The climate crisis and the immigration crisis overlap in very profound ways. We know from great reporting in the Times and elsewhere that hundreds of thousands of people have had to flee the highlands of Guatemala and El Salvador because they've had an unprecedented drought, precisely the kind of thing that scientists tell us will happen as the planet warms. In fact, the UN estimates that we can expect between 200 million and a billion climate refugees in the course of this century. So we better start figuring out something to do other than building a wall and tossing people in cages. It's time for us to recognize that people are having to leave through no fault of their own. They're coming from places that didn't pour carbon into the atmosphere like we did, and we better figure out how to make sure that we have some kind of working way to welcome people.
There's a cover story on the New York Times today about the threat to the global food supply that climate change poses. And it says that hundreds of millions of people might lose access to food in the very near future if we don't do something. And if that goes down, we're going to be seeing a lot more global turbulence in terms of migrations and the type of anti-immigrant energy that we're seeing in the U.S. right now is alarming in that regard. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess the good news is we're seeing a lot of pro-immigrant energy, too. People really pouring out to try and stop the travel ban, try and close down these camps. It's one of the things that the Democratic candidates in this year's election have been outspoken and strong about. So I guess we're going to see. It's going to be a real test of our character as a country, one of the issues that will obviously decide the next election. But as I say, it's likely to get more intense as the century wears on. You know, there's not walls high enough to keep hungry people from trying to feed their families.
So at the event we were just at, we just walked over to Elise Stefanik's office and were protesting and demanding action on detention centers. And there's a group of Trump supporters out there that were chanting hateful slogans. They had a megaphone with a siren attached to it that was blaring in our faces. And there was a feeling of almost incipient fascism. And in the face of the chaos that we're potentially facing as a civilization, there's a growing anxiety, particularly on the left, that that type of energy might become much more salient and a powerful influence on society in the very near future if the types of disruptions that climate change could bring about go unchecked. What do you think about that tendency, sort of looking into those faces? And
I think that one of the great gifts of the 20th century was nonviolent social movements. I think they're extraordinarily powerful. I think we've barely begun to sense their power. And that's what I spend my life building, places like 350.org and things. And so I think we need to double down. Nonviolence is a tool of enormous power, but it requires lots of people using it.
So what's your sense of the future? Do you think it's possible to be hopeful? Are you cautiously hopeful? Are you dire and dystopian? How are you feeling about things right now?
I'm never good at figuring out what's going to happen in the long run. I don't spend a lot of time being optimistic or pessimistic. Just get up in the morning and go to work and see what we can do. And I mean, there's obviously movements building strongly. Obviously, the science around things like climate change is very hard, and that's driving a lot of what we see in terms of things like immigration. So those things are all hard truths. We'll see if we can catch up with it. It's going to take everyone moving fast. And one of the next actual moments for everyone to do this is September 20th, when Greta Thunberg has asked and her young colleagues have asked adults to join the climate strikes that they've been running for over a year now. So September 20th is a day of all ages climate strikes around the world. It'll probably be the biggest day of climate action ever. So that'll be good.
Okay, and one last question is, the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, for which I am interviewing you, is a Capital Region-based news radio show. So for Capital Region folks, what sort of recommendations do you have about locally based climate activism, the most pressing issues in this region right now?
Well, I mean, the truth is, there's lots of people doing good work at local levels, and that's really important. Almost every town now has some kind of climate action committee. There's 350 groups up and down the Hudson, so on and so forth. It's really important to be working there, but it's also really important. I mean, they don't call it global warming for nothing. So some of the time we need to come together globally and really put pressure on those institutions that can write the rules at a level high enough to make a difference.
So your sense of it is that we ought to be thinking globally more than locally?
I think we ought to be thinking both. Think globally, act globally, think locally, act locally. Just get in the game.
Do everything you can.
There you are.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you very much, Adam.
After this interview, Bill walked back to Representative Stefanik's office with several organizers of the rally. They went inside and refused to leave and were shortly thereafter arrested and charged with misdemeanor trespassing. I came along and documented the sit-in and arrest from the entryway of the office building. The photo of Bill that accompanies the online version of this segment was taken as he was being loaded handcuffed into a Glens Falls police van and was used with his consent. Prior to and during the unfolding of this civil action, I also carried out interviews with other participants. These will play on WOC over the course of the next couple weeks.